To greet all of you in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord's Day, and I keep reminding our folk back in South Africa that the week begins not on Friday night, it begins Sunday. Sometimes people think that, man, thank God it's Friday, and it's a rest from our labors. But what a wonderful opportunity to start the week off by hearing from the Lord. And I hope and pray that what I have to say this morning will be of great help to you as it has been to me. You know, being here this morning brings back a flood of memories. Some of you folks who have been connected with this church for a long time remember that it was through this church that God provided for us during our seminary summers. We would be here, my family and I, and we would... I would take over here as, I think they call it interim pastor, and eat up the people's food and go to their homes and open the Bible and read the Bible and pray. And I look back to those days of seminary training with great thanksgiving to God for the link that He gave us with Fellowship Bible. Since then, a lot of water's gone under the bridge, as you know. Lily went to be with the Lord in the year 1996. And for 4 years, I was a fish out of water. And I really did not handle my single state very well, I have to say that. But in His time, God provided a helper for me. And I'm glad that Carol could travel with me this time. The last time that we were in the States together, she got very ill. And unfortunately, we did not have any medical cover. I mean, it was just one of those things that we just did not see a need for. I must tell you this, that last Sunday was my wake-up call. Brother Adams, you also used that term on Saturday morning because I think you've gone through something similar. But the ophthalmologist told me that this is your wake-up call. And they thought that I might have had a stroke or something else quite severe and didn't even allow me to walk. So for the first time in my life, I was pushed around in a wheelchair at the hospital. I enjoyed it. It was a nice little ride there. And then onto the bed for further tests, and they wouldn't allow me to go for the CAT scan walking. I had to be driven around. But when you have not spent one day of almost 60 years in a hospital, you do tend to take your health for granted. And I really have taken this as a wake-up call, not only from the doctors, but from the Lord, that you need to look after yourself and you need to do whatever you need to do from your side. God is going to do His part, but we need to really take greater care of our health. I have discovered that my weight is fine, just my height that's out. And you know, looking at the pastor there, I'm reminded of the good old joke. I've got to tell this, brother, at your expense. The very thin man, you know, the very thin man that looks at the fat man and says to him, or rather the other way around, the fat man looks at the thin man and says to him, "Man, you look as though you came out of a famine." And he says, looks the other guy, the fat man, up and down and says, "You know, if there's been a famine, I think you caused it." But, yeah, you know how it goes. We drink our coffee and we eat our donuts and we have our curry and rice. And, well, at the end of the day, something is going to go. And we have to watch ourselves. So the Lord has given me my wake-up call. And you know, I'm just so happy that I can read my Bible this morning. The other day, I was really battling. And last night, for some reason, I kept squinting and trying to read and getting a bigger print. But this morning, I'm back to my good old Scofield Bible, my Bible, where I've got a few things underlined that I can use. And how grateful I am. But my friends, I'll tell you what. You know what happened to me last Sunday? When I was sitting in the pew there, there was no pain, there was no warning, it just came. And I discovered later on through the help of the doctors that were here, Meredith and Dr. Yangen, they really helped me greatly. And I ended up at the hospital, and they told me that a blood vessel had actually ruptured in the eye. So it was something that came on very suddenly. And that just reminded me, you know, that our times are in His hand. Our times are not in our hand. And the matter of life and death is, it rests with the Lord. And the most important thing I have felt is that we have to be ready at any time. And we need to walk carefully with the Lord. And we need to stay in touch with Him. Because these things happen, you know, just like that, without any warning. And I'm just happy to be here. I'm so happy that I can read the Bible and proclaim the word of the Lord. Unfortunately for me, from almost as young as I can remember myself, I've had poor vision in the right eye. And I jokingly have told people, "Well, I hope nothing goes wrong with the left eye." Well, now the hemorrhage was in the left eye. So I've got some challenges facing me, and I trust that the Lord will just be merciful to help me to read my Bible and study it and then proclaim it for the benefit of the people of God. But I'm glad to be with you. Truly I am. And as I said, it brings back a lot of memories. I also want to thank you as a church, because we were informed by your pastor that the church had contributed towards the purchase of a missions vehicle. We haven't yet got our full amount, but I think that we are just over half of what's needed. And I think we received a contribution of about $1,400, which has brought our figure up to $9,600. We hope to get a vehicle that will really serve to get our student teams into places like Namibia and Botswana and Lesotho, and even places maybe even closer to home as God directs. So please pray for us that the Lord will enable us and strengthen us to do the work to which He has called us. I serve as academic dean, and I also carry a full load of teaching at the Bible College. And I have to say that I'm just delighted and feel greatly honored that in these days we are able to serve the Lord with gladness. Thanks for your prayers, and continue to pray for us as we travel. Next Sunday, God willing, I'll be in Maryland, and my daughter Ruth, who's been phoning almost on a daily basis, so worried about her dad. But they have asked me to dedicate little Samuel. Samuel was born the last time I was here. And he's got a good name. It's named after his grandpa. They made a wise move there. So Samuel Senior will dedicate Samuel Junior, hopefully next week in one of the churches in Maryland. And the boys are doing well in South Africa. And when I haven't spoken to them since I've been in the States, but they knew that I would be here and asked to convey their love and greetings to all of you. Well, I'd better stop now on all of that and get down to the text of Scripture. I'm happy to see Brother Marlon, said Afrikaner mense vanoggend. Praise the Here. And their daughter, the wife there. We had a lovely time in your home. Thanks for the meal, brother. The balls are with us. We thank the Lord for you. And you folks have been on our team for many years now. Thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel. And for all of you who are here this morning. I see my son in the faith sitting at the back there. I remember baptizing him in the horse's trough that you had here, along with Cedric and Chester, many years ago, in the Middle Ages. All may change, but Jesus never. Time passes by, the time is moving on, we're getting older and we have all our complications, but as for God, His way is perfect. And I am the Lord, I change not. And on that we have rested our hope. Now before I turn you to the book of Numbers, I don't have a single note with me, so I'm going to wander around in the wilderness. I'm going to talk about the wanderings of the children of Israel. But I hope that I won't be wandering all over the Bible. But I want us to pray before we take a section from Numbers. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship around the Word. And pray that our eyes may be open to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, Lord, so that we may know the way in which we should walk. Help us to be warned by the warnings. Help us to be strengthened by the promises. And help us to be obedient to the commands. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Pentateuch, five books of Moses, are a marvelous revelation of our Lord Jesus. They present him in a different light. In each book, there's a marvelous portrait of Christ. In fact, in some of those books, there may even be more than one portrait of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Genesis, he's undoubtedly the seed of the woman. That marvelous announcement in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. I believe that's a reason why Eve is so excited in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain is born, because she says, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. The reason that she was so excited, I believe, is because she might have thought that here was the Messiah promised to us in Genesis 3:15. Of course, he didn't turn out to be the Messiah, but the world's first murderer. So he is the seed promised in the book of Genesis. You come to Exodus, we find Jesus to be the sacrifice, the lamb that was slain. And when I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. Not a bag of gold, not a bag of silver that the angel of death looked for, not all the credentials written on the doorpost, not a lamb living and tied to the doorpost, but when I, the Lord, shall see the blood. And all the way from Genesis to Revelation, there's a trail of blood. Please, my friends, do not say, you might sing it, but I hope you'll repent after you've sung it, that I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown? No, no, no. Now, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble with the pastor here on this one.
We cannot give up the cross.
No. We cannot exchange it for a crown. And all the way from Genesis to Revelation, there's blood. Cut the Bible anywhere, it will bleed. It is red with redemption truth. And by the time we get to Revelation, my dear friends, what are they singing? Those from every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood. And the book of Revelation is a testimony to the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Oh, my friends, I hope and pray that we will never lose the sense of amazement, that we will never lose the sense of awe and wonder at the salvation procured for us. It's so free to us, we reach out with an empty hand and we receive it. But oh, it cost the Father His Son, and it cost the Son of God His life. He is the sacrifice in Exodus. When you come to Leviticus, the Son of God is portrayed there as our sanctifier. It is in the book of Leviticus that we have the strong emphasis on, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And God is He who sanctifies His people in the book of Leviticus. Strong emphasis on holiness because He is our sanctifier. You get to the book of Numbers, He is our sustainer. Oh my, what a description of the way God sustained His people in the wilderness. And how many marvelous hymns and choruses have come out of the book of Numbers? Do they ever sing here, Pastor Matt, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow"? That's good theology, I hope. "Strength for today is mine all the way, and all I hope, all I need for tomorrow. And guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me by thy mighty hand," I think it is. So lots of songs come out of the wilderness experiences of the people. And in that time of going through the wilderness, as explained to us in the book of Numbers, we see how the Lord provided, how the Lord sustained His people. And I'm going to come back to that. And then Deuteronomy, I believe, He's presented to us as the great spokesman. He's the prophet like unto Moses. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't go with those who claim that they can consult the dead. Don't engage the works or the services of a medium, because the Lord will speak, and blessed be the name of the Lord. He who in times past spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, to whom who upholds all things by the word of His power, and on the writer goes. He had a one-track mind. As soon as he touched on the doctrine of Christ, you couldn't get him away from it. Christ is the center of the Pentateuch. And that is why Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says, He opened up the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And my friends, as we study the Bible, as we open up the truth of God, we should pray, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." It's not about the preacher. It's not about the church. It's not about whatever else may be going on in this world today. It's all about Christ. He is to be the center of our attention, of our attraction. I was visiting yesterday, my wife and I, with Dr. Sachs, and we made him laugh for a change. He's always making us laugh. And I said, "You know, there's a saying there in South Africa when you greet people, hoe gaan dit, or how are you doing? They say, too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed." He said, "Well, you know, with my case, I'm too stressed to be blessed." Well, we thank the Lord that in the wilderness experience, the Lord is with us. And I'd like us to take a little event out of the life of Israel and be warned against the dangers of rebellion. Because in the wilderness, when the going gets tough, we sometimes get derailed and our eyes are taken off the Lord. Let me just turn your attention very quickly to Numbers chapter 9, just to show the wonderful privilege that God gave to His people Israel. Chapter 9, verse 18. "At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped." And then if you take a look at verse 22, whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey, but when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained, and so on. My friends, one of the greatest privileges that belongs to a child of God is to move or to stop at the command of the Lord. At the command of the Lord, they moved. At the command of the Lord, they stopped. And all of our moves and stops and all the turn in the way that we make as pilgrims in this journey, it's wonderful to know that we are led by Jehovah. We are led by higher hands of heaven. At the command of the Lord, they moved. At the command of the Lord, they stopped, even if it meant stopping for a whole year. But you know, in spite of all of this grace and divine provision, the cloud and the fiery pillar, evidences of the presence of God, oh my, it's just incredible the way the people reacted. So let's take a look at their rebellion in chapter 11 of Numbers. Chapter 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude, right there I can see danger signs flashing. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" We remember, now listen to this, we remember the fish. I haven't had any fish yet, Pastor Matt. The people were crying out for fish. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, we had some cucumbers. The melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now I want to just stop there a moment and say these are the signs of rebellion on the part of the pilgrim people. How would you like for lunch today some manna? I tell you, my friends, if I've got manna on one side and I've got some meatballs on the other side, I'm going for the meatballs. In fact, you know, when they saw this food from heaven, which is called angels' food, they said, "What is it?" That's why it was called manna. What is it? We don't know about this. What kind of food is this? It doesn't hit the spot. And they began to complain very bitterly. Now, I want you to notice three things about their rebellion. First of all, they were listening to the wrong voices. Verse 4 says, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept. The mixed multitude that went with them from Egypt, taken up with the miraculous, claiming to be part of the movement, and not really touched in their hearts with the saving grace of God. They began to complain and they began to speak, and the children of Israel were listening to the wrong voices. May I ask you this morning, to whom are you listening? Whose voices are we paying heed to? You know, sometimes we feel, and it's true in our country as well, that we want to have large churches with hundreds of people that come together. And I've got nothing against large churches. But I want to warn you, my dear friends, that people very often get attracted by something other than allegiance to Jesus. They're looking for something which will entertain or stir the emotions, and they're taken up with the miraculous. And they join in, not because of a real commitment to the Lord. And the others began to listen to the wrong voices. You know that we've got the privilege in our country of hosting the World Cup soccer in 2010. And one of the voices now that we have heard on television, Commissioner of Police, a high-ranking fellow in the government, has a suggestion. Very passionate suggestion Because we've got all these visitors coming to South Africa, let us scrap the laws of prostitution, against prostitution. Let us legalize it, and let us legalize public drinking. Otherwise, we're going to end up arresting some of our guests. My friends, any time that a nation is prepared to lower their standards and bring them down to where the world is, we are finished. What is it the Bible says that exalts a nation? Righteousness. And sin is a rebuke to any people. And our country is probably at the lowest point morally that it has ever been, with corruption running rampant throughout the country and immorality breaking out of bounds. And now to have a top official say, let's legalize prostitution and let's legalize public drinking lest we embarrass our guests and we have to arrest them. We want them to feel at home. How can people be at home in immorality? But those are voices that are being heard in the world today. And unfortunately, the nation called of God out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness to bring them into the land. That was God's great purpose for them. But we find them listening to the wrong voices. I want you to also notice that they were looking in the wrong direction, because it says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. And here's what they said. The people said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. The halls will know the lovely chorus we still sing in South Africa. When I remember what the Lord has done, I'll never go back anymore. You know, the danger of listening to the wrong voices is very often followed up by looking in the wrong direction, looking back to Egypt and saying, you know, in a way, I think it was better for me when I was there with all the onions and the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic and the fish. And all I've got to show now is manna. What is it? The Bible tells me that we should be running the race and looking away unto Jesus. May I warn you this morning that the devil will see to it that there are enough things to distract us and to cause us to always be looking in the wrong direction. Our eyes must get away from Egypt, and we've got to get our eyes fixed on Jesus. Does anybody know how long it took to get the people out of Egypt? One night. How long did it take to get Egypt out of them? Oh, 40 years in the wilderness. God had to work with them. And why did He give them manna? They were listening to the wrong voices, looking in the wrong direction, and lusting for the wrong things. They wanted meat. They wanted steak. They wanted real food, not manna. And why did God give them manna? The Bible says He fed them with manna so that they would learn that man does not live by bread only, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The manna had the purpose of teaching them spiritual priorities. And they wanted to short-circuit the learning process. Give us meat. We are sick and tired of manna. Oh, my friends, I want to say this morning that the Lord can teach us some lessons through manna that we will never learn through steak. The Lord can teach us some lessons in the dark which we will never learn in the light. And Abram was down there in Egypt, and there was a famine in the land. And the Bible says Abram went down to Egypt because his first emotion or his first response was survival. May I tell you, my friends, that when we are walking with God, our first response is not survival. Our first response is, may the Lord be glorified in everything. Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In all things I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we sing and rejoice when it's going well with us. But when He sends us through the trial of testing, we very often complain. Am I the only one? I think that we all go through that. And why does God touch a man's eyes? Why does God allow that to happen to? And especially when he's got one good eye. This eye should have been okay last week already. No. We need to follow the Lord, and we need to learn to lean upon Him, and we need to learn to trust Him and learn the lessons through the wilderness. It is better to starve in Canaan if that is the will of God than to live in luxury in Egypt. Okay, Abram made the mistake of trying to jump and escape the trial and go down to Egypt. The people say, look, we want meat. Give us meat. Listening to the wrong voices, looking in the wrong direction, and lusting for the wrong things. Now, you know, in a way, this story has quite a conclusion to it. And I have to show you this from chapter 11. What does that do to a leader? Dear old Moses. Listen to Moses in chapter 11. Verse 13. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. Hey, Pastor Matt. If you treat me like this, kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Is he the only one that had this desire for the Lord to take his life? And listen, he didn't mean, take my life and let it be consecrated. It was, Lord, take my life. I want to die. Anybody know how many people Moses was leading through the wilderness? Over 2 million. And I notice in the book of Numbers how God arranged them in order. They were to march in order, not everybody going in different directions. And when these people complain, Moses says, Lord, listen, this is not just a letter of resignation. Just kill me. Take me home to heaven. That's better than dealing with this crowd. The Afrikaanse uitdrukking, hulle is deur en deur sleg. They're through and through bad people. What can I do with them, Lord? Am I responsible to give them meat? Did I bring them into existence? Hey, but you know something? We've all been there. Christian leaders have all reached that point of resignation and discouragement. And I'm so happy that God doesn't take us seriously. The Lord didn't take Moses home. And you know what? When God did take him home in his time and at the right time, how old was Moses? 120 years old. And you know what it says about Moses? His eye was not dim. Hey, neither was his natural force abated. God took him home at the right time. But right here, the man is so discouraged, he says, Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven right now. Take me away from these people. Well, the Lord says to him, no, Moses, it's not the time yet, but I'm going to give you some help. So the Lord gives him 70 people to help him. And these are spirit-filled leaders. But now let's see the way God dealt with the people's request and their rebellion. Verse 19. You shall eat meat, not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? This is one of the most terrifying things for me personally. I don't know how it strikes you. C.S. Lewis said, there are only two kinds of people in this world. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, your will be done. The most terrifying thought for any believer, for any person, is to have God Almighty step aside and say, you keep on crying, you keep on asking, you keep on nagging. Hey, listen, I'm going to step aside, your will be done. How does the psalmist describe it? He says he gave them their request and he sent leanness into their soul. They just nagged and they kept on asking him for something outside of his will until God eventually said, I'm going to send them meat. Not one day, not 2 days, but they're going to eat the meat until it comes out of their nostrils. And then notice how God provided for them. Verse 31. Now a wind went up out from the Lord and it brought quail from the sea. What are the quail? I take it that the quails are something like guinea fowl, something like that. I've never eaten quails, so I don't know. A chicken, I think it's tougher meat than chicken. But hey, if the Lord sent it, it must have been good. Anyway, he brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, about 2 cubits above the surface, within reach of the people. And the people stayed up all that day and all that night. Imagine staying up day and night because you've got some meat for a change. Hey, I'm going to stay up all day and night, then meat. The manna is, and we sit inside of the manna, the Lord's sending us meat. They stayed up day and night and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. Verse 33, but while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. Oh, my friends, the awful price to be paid for rebellion. What am I saying this morning? What I'm saying is that in our pilgrimage, there are lots of things that we want. There are lots of things that we feel we should have had last year, we should have had 5 years ago, we should have had last month. And God has not seen fit to give them to us. Some of us may battle with our health. Some may battle with other problems, maybe financial problems, maybe something to do with our studies, maybe something to do with the future planning, maybe marital issues. One of the lessons we learn in our journey through the wilderness is that if the Lord knows the way through the wilderness and we stop when He stops and we move when He moves, then rather than listen to the wrong voices, look in the wrong direction, and lust for what He hasn't given to us, we need to learn a contentment and a trust in God, realizing that He is the best one to direct our lives. The terrible thing here is that God actually gave them their request. And He stepped out of the way and said, if you want it, it was never in my will for you, but if you want it, here it is. And you'll eat it until it comes out of your nostrils. Oh, may we just sweetly and humbly depend upon the Lord and let Him be the one to choose for us. Let Him be the one to lead us. And when we pray, let's always qualify our prayers by saying like Jesus said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all we need to do this morning is to follow Him. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to say, Lord, here's my life. I lay it upon the altar. I want to do just what you want me to do. Not to look this way or that way. Not to listen to these voices that will sidetrack me. Not to lust for that which is outside of your will, but to keep my eyes fixed upon Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. May the Lord be glorified in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you will write it on our hearts and help us, Father, to be obedient, to walk in your way for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was able to see all of that.